not the one who's so far away. When I feel the snake bite enter my veins, never did I wanna be here again. And I don't remember why I came.
Welcome to the Talking Shiitake Podcast. This is Christian.
This is Katie.
Hey, and this week we're going to try something new. We're going to talk about the extinction of the alpha male.
The alpha male. Ooh.
Yes. But before we do that, we'd like to thank everybody for their comments and postings on our Talking Shiitake Facebook page.
Absolutely. There was some good stuff on there. The winner goes out to Chris, who figured out Christian's nickname. That was good. Good job, Chris. If you want to know what BL Christian is, you can go on Talking Shiitake Facebook.
Yeah, pretty good idea.
What?
But you might not get the stories.
You might not get the stories, but you might get the gist.
Someday. That'll be in the book.
It'll be in the book. Also, you know what? I thought there was an interesting... Everybody was talking a little bit about health because that was our topic last week. And there was a comment by Megan, which she had mentioned something about fluoride and how fluoride is actually put in our water to make us sick and dumb. And actually, I think that she may be onto something. I kind of have a theory about that, if you don't mind if I rant on that for just a second.
We would like to hear you rant a little bit. Tell
would
us,
you?
Katie. Preach to us.
Well, you know, one of the studies, or some of the studies have shown that fluoride, one of the things that it affects in our bodies is our pineal gland. It actually causes a calcification in our pineal gland.
What's which pineal gland?
The pineal gland, I'm glad you asked, Christian. Thank you for asking. It's basically a gland that's located right, it's actually in the geometric center of the human skull. And it's considered like an ocular gland, like an eye, because it has a sensitivity to light. And that's why they call it our third eye. That's the actual third eye that everybody talks about. So it basically, it doesn't really do much, according to most people, that it's just pretty dormant. And it's only really activated at the time of death. I mean, 100% across the board, it is activated when somebody dies. So it's an interesting gland. Some people call it the death gland. But then if you study some of the Hindu beliefs, they actually believe that you can activate the pineal gland other ways. For instance, like they do a kundalini type chakra meditation that actually raises your energy enough to actually activate the third eye or the pineal gland. And that's why you see the Hindus, how they have that little thing that they wear on their forehead, the little dot or the jewel that they put on.
Bindi or something like that.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know, but I think I heard that before. So don't quote me on it. Look it up. I think it's a bindi though.
You're probably right. But it's basically, it symbolizes the fact that that person has opened their third eye, that it is activated. So it's considered to be a very spiritual person because this is your connection, your actual connection between being a physical human and the divine creator or the force or the source or the Godhead or however you want to define it. But this is our connection to that source. Well, there was, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, ah.
So it seems like it's a pretty important thing, right? And that it remains dormant all this time, but yet some people believe that you can activate it. Well, there was this guy by the name of his crazy name, Drunbolo Melchizedek. Have you heard of him?
I have never. That last name sounds like a biblical thing, but I've never heard of that guy.
Drunbolo. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right, but Drunbolo Melchizedek. And he's considered to be, I guess, one of, or at least in connection with, one of the ascended masters. And so he's kind of privy to some information that we may not normally get. But basically, he says that the reason our pineal gland is inactive is because of the way that we breathe. That prior to the shift in the Earth's axis, where we used to actually rotate on an axis that was straight up and down, well, something happened to the Earth, it could have been a meteor, asteroid, whatever, knocked it off its axis. So now we rotate, as we know, on a slant. Well, when that happened, I guess that was like the big flood, really. It was about 10,500 years ago, is what he says. And that this was the mass devastation that we read about in the biblical times, basically, that this is the big flood.
Like the movie.
Like the movie. What movie?
Noah.
The flood? Oh, Noah, right. So the survivors, like Noah or whoever survived, pockets of little civilizations here and there that survived, that basically through our survival process that we learned to breathe differently, and that we breathe in our life source or prana through our mouths, where initially we used to breathe it in through the tops of our heads. So this life source, now that we breathe through our mouths, is now bypassing the pineal gland. And that's why the pineal gland is inactive, right? That kind of makes sense. But it is activated at the time of death. So that makes sense too, where that connection's going to happen no matter what. Now, you may not be connected throughout your life, but then again, there are ways to activate it, like what the Hindus talk about. But I find it interesting that fluoride affects this very gland. It's in all of our water. We all drink it. Any civilized world has it in their water. And we're constantly being forced to take in fluoride, which causes a calcification in our pineal gland, which keeps us disconnected from the divine. Coincidence? I don't know.
So basically, fluoride's trying to make us dumb.
Not just dumb, but disconnected, so that we can't tap into the divine source. If you can't tap into the divine source, then you don't have that information. You don't have that energy. You're disconnected, basically. Like, we're living blind. I mean, and you can see it in the way that our civilization is. We walk around like zombies, really. Not that I'm into the zombie apocalypse thing, but we do kind of walk. We know we're not really connected, but there are times that we feel connected. There are certain times where we're stressed, or you know, we have, you know, there's a death in the family or something where you've become connected. There's certain tragic moments where we feel that connection. So we know it's there, but do we live our lives fully connected? I don't know that we do.
You know, when I heard you mention that you wanted to talk about fluoride, I was totally expecting you to go with the Nazi myth of using fluoride to kind of dumb down society. And
we think about it in the
Western world took it on next.
Well, think about that, though. It is dumbing down society because, and that's why I appreciate what Megan was saying, is it is making us dumb because we cannot connect to the source, which basically holds the, what some people consider to be the Akashic records, which is really all the information. We can't tap into that. Therefore, we are walking around dumb and we're easier to control. Does that make sense? So I agree with you. I think that maybe it does kind of tie into that. And I didn't even know the Nazis did that, to be honest with you. That's the first I've heard that. So that only just supports my theory even more.
I've heard that about the Nazis before, but I've also heard that they were not the ones that started that project. It's really easy to throw anything sinister on the Nazis, so
right.
We don't have to take credit for it.
They're an easy scapegoat.
But doesn't it make for better teeth?
Well, that's why we're supposedly, it's in all our water. We wouldn't want to have rotten teeth now, would we? You know, I mean, that's supposedly the reason, but it's a poison. It really is.
Yeah, I think it's the byproduct of some kind of poison. I don't know too much about it, but fluoride, I think, is the leftover of some other thing that we've made. And I think it's basically useless, but they figured out that some fluoride helps the teeth. But from what I've heard, ingesting it does not help the teeth.
Or is it the devil? I'm just saying. I'm just kidding.
So is that our conspiracy of the week?
That could be. And, you know, look it up for yourselves. You can find out a lot of information. Look up Drunvalo Melchizedek. I don't know how to spell his last name, but it's Drunvalo. Put that in there. You'll find him. He's got a lot of videos. He's a teacher. That's just not even really what he teaches. That just happens to be something that he stated at one point that I read. He really gets into the sacred geometry and Merkabas and activation and that kind of thing. So it does kind of tie in with the pineal gland. But anyway, I thought Megan was pretty insightful and right on with that comment. Thank you, Megan, for putting that on Facebook. Appreciate that.
And I will let you know that Megan also has a nickname, since we throw those out every once in a while.
Oh, so you know Megan. She has a nickname.
Yes, one of her nicknames is Megatron.
Megatron, that's a cool nickname.
Yes.
See, that's a cool nickname. Nobody ever gives me cool. Katie Violet Lady, really? That's not a cool nickname. Megatron's a cool nickname.
That Katie Violet Lady, otherwise
I should have never brought it up.
KKVL is a pretty good name.
It's really not.
Yeah, I gave it to you.
And it's not. Awesome. It's not good at all. You can have it back.
You know,
Megatron's good, though.
Your nickname can kind of lead us into the next part of our podcast.
Okay.
The extinction of the alpha male.
Oh my gosh, is it because women are violent?
No. Well, since my belief, and this comes from another listener that kind of brought this on.
Okay.
After one of our podcasts, he sat me down and basically wanted to talk to me about one of the problems in this world. And his belief is that one of the biggest problems in this world, why everybody hates everybody and nobody can get along, is because we no longer allow men to be alpha males.
We no longer allow them to be alpha males. Okay.
It doesn't really work in our society. Now, you know, normally I'm easygoing. I'm okay with everybody having their own opinion, but I have pretty much the opposite opinion of that. I think one of the best things that can happen in this world is to not need that typical so-called alpha male.
So what do you consider to be a typical alpha male then?
I think if we go throughout history and look at that male that either leads his tribe, his nation into battle, is really kind of violent and intimidating, takes control of resources and anything basically with brute force,
mm-hmm.
will fight to the death at the drop of a hat just to prove that he's a male. And in the Adam, if you go to the animal kingdom, you'll see that alpha male is basically going to act tough and bad and fight to have control of the females in his group. And I think it's been somewhat similar in history with humans. That's
right.
Kind of the way it goes. I don't think it's needed as much in Western society as it was in the past. And I think that's a good thing because it allows a lot of other people to have a say in this world and in their environment, whether it's not quite so aggressive or such strong male.
Because it kind of creates fear though a little bit, right?
Right. You basically rule by fear. And nobody wants to be ruled by fear, but some of us have this belief that that's needed. That strong male has to be, that leads us, has to be bigger and stronger, more vocal, and just more violent to keep us in line, to control,
intimidate
the resources. Yes, and to intimidate.
Right.
And I think through history you've seen all the different effects that thinking has had negatively on society. And it still does. If you go to different parts of the world, you'll find that the male-dominated society has pretty tragic effects. In Africa, Middle East, and even parts of Europe, and even in the United States, where you think we're kind of enlightened and better than everybody else, we have a problem with it.
So why do you think there's less of it? Are we less intimidated now because of technology or because people are smarter, or do you think it's part of evolution?
It could be, I think, a combination of all of them. We're to a place where we don't need to have that brute force to lead us. We don't need that protector. If we were attacked by an outside nation, we might have to put somebody in charge that's strong and domineering and will lead us to survival. But in the United States, we don't really have that issue. And I think we've learned throughout time that not only can maybe the weaker males lead us and lead us well, but we're finally getting to the point where females can take leadership roles. And I think that makes us a stronger society altogether.
Is that considered the alpha bitch? because you can't have a powerful woman without the woman being a bitch, right? I mean, that's pretty much a general consensus.
I think that is consensus based on the alpha male role model.
Maybe.
I think you got to put a label on it, and they're going to put a negative label on it, and it may be the more male-dominated society that's going to do that. And then, but a lot of even females will say that about another strong female.
Oh, absolutely. They're the worst.
They'll say all kinds of bad things about her, but basically she's just stronger or more of a leader than them.
Right. It's actually a compliment in the female community.
Is it really?
To somewhat. It's, even though you may not dislike them, there's a certain amount of respect.
I think that's kind of like that with men.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm not sure... And I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but I just don't think it's as needed as it was. I think we're getting to a point where it's more of community-based, a group of people come together and work for better things in this world, the common good.
Well, my question would be, is it that the alpha male is becoming extinct, or is this another form of a more evolved alpha male? That it's not necessarily the same stereotypical archetype that we've placed all these connotations on, that we actually have evolved, and that the male role is dominant but yet understanding. It's not about brute force anymore so much as it is actually about caring. And I think that's where maybe the feminine aspect of it actually comes in. There's some people say that there's actually a divine feminine rising right now, where we are galactically, you know, it goes through cycles, just like seasons. We all go, everything's cyclical, that there's a feminine rising. And it's not necessarily saying that it's, you know, women are going to rule or anything like that, but the feminine aspects of it, because every person has, you know, both male and female attributes to their personality. So all it's going to be is more of that nurturing, more caring, maybe more emotional, maybe intuitive, some of the things that are stereotypical of the feminine side of things, which would make sense that now men could actually will be maybe even a little more balanced, and women may actually be off balance, which we know most of them are anyway. So
I would never say that.
I can get away with it, I guess.
There would be repercussions if I said it. I think maybe the balance is going to, well, the feminine part of that is going to bring everything into balance.
I agree.
And I think in a perfect world, men and women should be able to stand next to each other and that just, you know, do everything they need to do. Rule the world, run the world, just get along. There shouldn't be, and maybe that's where we have a lot of the strife we've had throughout the years. And even more so, I think a lot of the strife we have now, as the old guard is kind of fighting to hold on to that.
I think you're right.
They want to hold on to that power. They don't want to share it. It's hard for change, to have change.
Really,
and I
think
maybe they're across the spectrum, not just with men and women and the alpha male and the alpha female. I think it's just everything. Everybody's trying to hold on to that old way because it's known.
It's familiar.
Yeah, and not going out into this new world together and working together to make it a better place.
And you call me the hippie.
Yeah, I have my moments. Don't put labels on me. I have my moments.
No, and I think it's true, though, that there would be that balance, because there should be balance, and everything that we see that represents that, the yin and the yang. Everything has the black and the white. It's not racist, Christian. Everything has a front and a back. You know, there's two sides to it. So having that balance, they even talk about that in the Hermetic principles, of that everything has a gender, that it is masculine and feminine. There are two sides to it. And that finding that balance and not having it all one way. And maybe we did need to have that alpha male at one time, especially if we were going through some catastrophic thing where we're just trying to survive and kill animals. And maybe that was needed. But maybe, like you said, maybe it's not needed anymore.
While we might have needed alpha males at certain points, I think if you look a little deeper in history, it's kind of hidden or has been hidden. You'll find times where an alpha female has led her group or nation to the promised land, I guess you would say, or out of dire straits.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the well-known ones would be Joan of Arc, who, while a lot of people will call her a kid or crazy or whatever,
and took on a masculine role. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, and she led, and then once she was done, the men of the time got rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
Made it look really bad, made her look like a heretic, but that's just one of the different examples. You could go throughout history in different parts of the world and find women leading. And now you've got the book by Sheryl Sandberg, Lean In, that's basically empowering women to be more productive in this world. And more productive is probably the wrong word, but just to have their place in this world like they always should have.
Mm-hmm.
Our old school, my father, he old school. He wants women to be in the kitchen, kind of. And I don't understand that at all, but a lot of people want that still. That's recent. That was very popular recently, even if you go back to the late 60s and 70s and watch the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I never understood. She never worked, but yet she had a maid. I mean, it seemed a little frivolous to me, but.
That was the old Southern plantation way of doing it without the racial aspect.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You get the rich person has to have a maid because that proves you're rich.
That's true. It does.
I think in certain countries, that's still the case. If you have a maid, you're well off.
Well, I guess I'm not well off then.
I'm not either.
But you know, some people say that the fall of the family is due to feminism, and that because women pushed their way into the workforce and they weren't home with the kids and they weren't cooking the meals and everything became these ready-made meals like we talked about in the health program, that some of that is caused by women not really taking their role as the homemaker.
I think that's ridiculous. You know, it's that's just an excuse that's looking for a problem that's not there. We have this nostalgic view of how it used to be.
Right.
How families used to be. But we leave out the fact that throughout history, there was a lot of abuse, whether it was with children or women, sexual abuse that was just not talked about. And we act like it's something new, but it's definitely not.
Mm-hmm. It's just being more recognized, maybe.
Right. So just because people have a little, there's more freedom to get out of a bad relationship. That doesn't mean that it's tearing down family structure. Those family structures were not perfect to begin with.
But we have this delusion that in the past, everybody had it so good.
And that's a typical, normal human trait. We look, we only remember the good in the past a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about how it used to be so much better when we were children and we didn't have cell phones and computers to distract us and we could go out and play outside all day long. But life wasn't perfect then, and it definitely wasn't perfect for everybody. So I think there's more opportunities for everybody, from at least in the Western world, from coming from different classes, women, minorities, you know, gays, whatever they have, there's more opportunity. It's just you don't have that fake facade that we used to have where the family is the perfect structure.
Just kind of swept everything under the carpet.
Yeah, we didn't talk about sex. We went to church every week, even if they were a non-believer, you know, it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, people have a little bit more freedom to do their thing and believe what they want to believe, and there's a lot of voices saying that that's the end of the world, the human race is going downhill, and earthquakes are caused because we allow gays to have rights. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. I mean, but they've had the signs that say we are doomed since, I mean, I remember seeing pictures in the 20s. I mean, back in Middle Ages, you know, we're all doomed, you know. I mean, we've been saying this for a long time. I think we all kind of buy into it at the time that we're living.
We're kind of fatalistic.
Yeah, it's a good way to say it.
And maybe we think that our time is the end time because we're so into ourselves.
Narcissistic.
Right. So we don't really think that any other time existed. We don't even think about what's going to happen to our children and our grandchildren. So we let the government spend all kinds of money that we don't have without worrying about that.
Hmm.
We don't do anything with the schools to make our schools stronger and our children smarter, because we don't want to think about that. We just live right now in the moment and with all of it on ourselves. And that, I think that's normal. I think that's one of the things we have to work on every day, is to realize that we are humans. We have weaknesses. Biologically, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. But we have enough knowledge that we can start bettering ourselves from all that.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. I know I don't normally take a stand, but I kind of take a stand on the whole family thing and how it used to be better in the past. It was maybe easier. It's always easier if you don't see the big picture. You just focus on the good and ignore the bad and not worry about your neighbor and what they have to go through.
Because that's really what we're doing. We're always kind of comparing what's, you know, is this better than that? And we're always putting judgment on everything. And even though I think you're right that we do have more accessibility to everything, that there is more equality, I don't say we're 100% there, but people do have more opportunities, I think, than ever before. And do we seize those opportunities? Do we recognize it? Or just we're always still looking at the negative and seeing that grass is greener on the other side?
Right, right. Or our neighbors have a better car, we better get a car.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have to focus on getting that better car so we don't take time to look in the mirror and do a better job with ourselves.
And that's really all we can do, is really improve ourselves.
And maybe that's where you'll see the alpha male go out of existence, at least in the way we know it, is when they can look in the mirror and realize that they don't have to be big and strong all the time. They just have to be strong enough for themselves and their family, and let their family be just as strong.
Or a different kind of strength.
Right.
Where it's not brute strength, but it's emotional strength. It's being confident without being cocky. It's being, you know, a ruler without ruling with an iron fist. So
right.
It can still be an alpha male in the sense that it's somebody who we look up to. It's somebody that need maybe even guide us, but doing it through a genuine concern and consideration for the people that they're helping. They're actually helping them. They're not trying to rule them or dominate them. They're realizing, because I think as we evolve, we realize that by helping others, we are helping ourselves, that we really are all one race, that we really are all one being, actually, if you want to get down to it, that by helping you, I'm helping me.
Right.
And there's no reason for me to create fear in your life, because if I create fear in your life, then you're creating fear in mine, and there's no need for it.
I think a lot of times creating fear is just an aspect of being fearful.
Exactly. Well said.
So it's and then even with the alpha male, I think it's time to dump the male part of it. An alpha person, a leader. Let's just do leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people tend to be more natural leaders, based on whether they just show the confidence, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of strength, but not overbearing, not keeping everybody else down and under control so that they can maintain their power. It seems to me like a good power structure is one that goes back and forth, and different people step up at different times. And one of the theories with, say, the latest generation, our children's generation, a lot of people will say how lazy they are, how they're not any good, and different kinds of crazy stuff. But and there are, you know, the generation of everybody gets a trophy. It's kind of knocked because sometimes they expect things to be given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going with stereotypes and generalizations. But one of the things that was studied and found to be true scientifically is that generation worked together better than any generation that's been studied in the past. It was always individual effort, work individually, succeed individually, get rich individually. And the latest generation they cooperate better. You get them in a group and they can achieve goals as a group instead of with one strong leader just telling everybody what to do.
So everybody working equal is much more effective than having one person tell everybody what to do?
Right. Everybody has some input. And I think a natural dynamic is someone is going to be the leader, but that leader lets everybody else be a part of the process. And when you look at good businesses or good leaders, they tend to give ownership to the group as opposed to taking ownership all by themselves.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes. Might be pie in the sky, crazy, crazy talk.
Well, there was something I looked up. It was interesting, and I just want to read this real quick because this was the different traits of the new alpha male, they call it. This is the evolved alpha male. There are 7 main traits. It's helpful without being condescending, confident without being cocky, vain but not conceited, prideful but not arrogant, humble but not self-loathing, tolerant but not weak, and dedicated but not obsessed. And I thought that was pretty good, because it shows those really strong traits, but with an understanding of the outcome.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. And I think our listeners didn't catch it, we should post that on Facebook so that they can take a look at it. And
it does go into deeper description on each one of those traits, right, too. So yeah, I will post that.
Look around the world, and they'll start seeing different examples of that all over the place, I think. And they'll see examples of things that don't work.
Unfortunately, the people that are in power are the biggest examples of what not to be, it seems like to me.
I think they're old school alphas. And there's...
We're going to coin that term, old school alphas.
Yeah, like neocons or something. Right. Like we'll put a trademark by that.
We should.
So we get paid every time they use it. But you'll look at our leaders, whether it's Obama now or Bush or Reagan, they're old school alphas, and different groups of people will make each of those heroes in different aspects, or the John Waynes of old school actors, or Sylvester Stallones. That's we kind of enjoy an alpha in a movie.
Mm-hmm. We definitely do. It's the hero. He's here to save us all.
Right. It's pretty easy. It's an age old hero story, as Joseph Campbell would call it. And for those that don't know Joseph Campbell, look him up. He helped inspire George Lucas to write Star Wars. But he was a great professor that focused on or studied myths. So look him up. There's plenty of information on the internet and videos about him, and I think he's very entertaining for everybody that doesn't know about him. But he was pretty impressive.
Because they say there's a lot of symbolism in Star Wars too, that he did get, he was part of the influence of that, right? Where they actually take these myths, but there's a lot of truth in the Force, tapping into positive and negative, and I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I get the gist of it, I mean, it's, I think it's pretty well done in that part of it, where they've taken actual philosophy from history and turned it into this story. I can see the appeal.
Yes, the orphan hero. You can go through all the different religious histories and myths and find symbolism there. So Luke is the new Luke Skywalker is Harry Potter, another orphan.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they basically go through it's battle evil and triumph, of course, but they're not sure. If you look at those roles, they're not your typical alpha roles.
But in a way, they kind of are. They're battling to save people. They've got to, there's a lot of brute force happening in Star Wars.
I think you're right on Star Wars, more so than Harry Potter, where while he may have been the main focus of that group, you'll look at Hermione as a strong feminine role, role model. And it was more of a collaborative effort. And of course it's all fiction, but our fiction, if you look at fiction and the time it's written, you'll see that it has a lot of insight in society at the time, whether you go all the way back to Shakespeare and even farther back. It tells you a lot about the current societies.
Maybe even the greatest story ever told.
What is the greatest story ever told? Tell me about this.
The story of Jesus is considered to be the greatest story ever told. Here's somebody who sacrificed. I mean, is that the kind of almost the death of the alpha male right there? If we have, killed by brute force, but sacrificed himself for all of mankind.
It's kind of funny that so many of our old school alphas will talk about that story and make Jesus more of an alpha character instead of a character that transcends all of that and is teaches us a lot more.
Because the real alphas, I guess, in that story would be the priests and who condemned Jesus, Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, and those guys, they're considered to be the evil alpha males, I guess, in the story, where we all can relate to the one who's being crucified.
Right, but we don't always catch on to the fact that type of alpha, we later made out to be heroes or heroic or something we looked up to, even though there was a lot of bad there, instead of looking to a stronger figure that would take us out of that traditional view of things, a limiting view, and make us have to be a better person.
It's interesting, though, that across the board, though, no matter what the story is, it's always about being rescued, kind of. Who's going to save us? Is it Luke Skywalker? Is it Harry Potter? Is it Jesus? Who's going to save us? Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger? You know, we're always looking for that savior. We're constantly looking outside of ourselves for someone to save us, as opposed to looking within. And that's where that whole external savior thing, it's, I don't know, kind of have a hard time with it.
We could always go, we could talk about Michael Jackson, start with the man in the mirror.
Well, there's an alpha male for you.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. Just kidding. I don't want to be picking on little Michael, but I'm not sure he's...
He was evolved enough to be in touch with his feminine side.
I think this is where we talk about aliens again.
Well, what's interesting about aliens is that they say that some of these aliens that they've found, by they, I mean, you know, the conspiracy nuts, I guess.
You just called them nuts.
Yeah, I'm one of them. So you can say that. It's like,
okay,
you know what I mean? You can make fun of people that you're like. So, but that these aliens, when they dissected them, that they had no real gender. Like, they could eventually tell if it was male or female once they got really deep inside their innards. But on their appearance and they had no real, I guess, genitalia. You know, they didn't reproduce. So they had evolved to the point where they really had both male and female as a being, which I thought was interesting.
Themselves?
Well, they stopped reproducing.
Why is that?
And that's one of the reasons, I guess, they fled to find the ability to be able to reproduce again, because they lost touch with that.
Ah. So that sounds like a whole TV show.
It could be a TV show, huh? So basically they come here and they do tests on humans and figure out how they reproduce so that they can actually extract some of that DNA to help continue their race so it doesn't die out. It's just one theory.
I've seen that theory. It's on the Discovery? No, History Channel. Ancient alien theorists believe.
We need that guy with the crazy big hair.
That is true. His hair is awesome. It has its own Facebook page.
His hair has its own Facebook page?
Yep. Or is it a Twitter page? One or the
Maybe.
Other.
Maybe. I'll have to look that up. What's his name? Do you know off your top of your head?
George Tsoukalos.
Oh, Tsoukalos, right.
I think that's his name is.
I think you're right.
Good show. They ran out of new stuff. It's always fun to watch that stuff. Like, and you know, I don't always believe a lot of that, but it is very entertaining, and it could very well be when you look at ancient stuff, ancient writings and pictures. But till they find something that they show me some alien spacecraft, that's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, and I think that part of our belief structure is that these beings come from a different part of our galaxy or a different part of our solar system or universe. Whereas if you believe in multidimensional universes, you could understand dimensional travel, right? So if you have interdimensional travel, you don't really need a spacecraft per se.
That's the only way Bigfoot could exist.
I am in total agreement with you. That is 100% true. I agree 100% on that.
I just don't believe in Bigfoot either. But if Bigfoot existed, that's how Bigfoot would exist.
Interdimensionally, I totally agree. It has to be, because there's no bones ever found. There's never been a skeleton of a Bigfoot found. And people say they've seen them. There's all these videos. There's a whole stinking move show on it where they claim to know that Bigfoot likes bacon for some. I don't have no idea how they know that.
Everybody likes bacon.
I guess that's true.
At least the male Bigfoot would like bacon.
The alpha male? Bigfoot. There's the ultimate alpha male right there is Bigfoot.
If there was an alpha male in Bigfoot, he would have done something really stupid and we would have a Bigfoot in captivity, because men do stupid things when they're trying to be an alpha.
Maybe Bigfoots are us in the past. And we're just seeing glimpses of that.
Can of something there.
And those really are the true alphas of our species.
They're too nice.
Oh, that's a good point. It's a really good point.
They would attack us more often just to prove to their woman Bigfoot, or their men, you know, their fellow men Bigfoot.
So they're more evolved than us.
They could be, if there was such a thing.
If there was such a thing, and they did like bacon, I don't know.
True, but on mythical monster creatures. There supposedly is a new picture of the Loch Ness Monster. That was taken from an Apple satellite. We will have to post it, or I'll post it.
Please post that, because I want to see that.
It doesn't look anything like the Loch Ness Monster we've seen before.
Which would make more sense anyway.
But it was pretty big. It looked like a huge fish. You know those sucker fish that are on the bottom of the
tank? Think I did see that. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It looked like a big one of those. So we'll post it and everybody can kind of tell us what they think.
Well, there is a theory that we are actually glimpsing into either the past or the future. Like there's a separation typically there, but the membrane in our separation has grown thin in certain parts and that we could actually see through it. So we're looking in, because we know if you understand time or watch Doctor Who, you realize that time is not linear, that you can go into different places of time. It just appears linear to us because we're in this third dimensional reality. But if you understand that everything's happening simultaneously and that there are certain areas where those walls are thinner than others, you may be seeing a pterodactyl from, you know, the BC era.
That's getting very timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey? What does that even mean?
You'll see later on. I know you're still early on in the Doctor
Who. Oh, Doctor Who. Oh, okay.
You'll see.
Oh, I'll see. I can't wait.
Keep watching.
Okay, so Christian, what do you think is going to be happening? Do you relate to the alpha male, the new alpha male, the old alpha male? What do we call it? Old school alpha male or something?
Let me see. The old school alphas?
Old school alphas. What's going to happen to these poor guys? They're going to go extinct. Should we do like a fundraiser to keep them alive?
I think that they should learn how to just coexist with the new alphas.
They're going to have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because when you look at how we cherish our sports in this world, in this country, and that's like we build that, at least the male counterparts or the male sports world, they're kind of the alpha role models. And it'll be interesting to see how sports evolves along with everything else. But I think you'll start seeing it in things like sports. You're starting to see it now with like in hockey, the You Can Play program, where basically if they're taking away all the headaches that maybe were in the past if there was a gay athlete. And I think you're seeing it in all the other sports leagues, not quite as fast, but you know, hockey is this manly sport that you would think full of alphas, but they are leading the charge on some of this. So you'll start seeing it in sports, and then you're seeing it in business a little bit more. It's nice to see that females are getting a better place in society, because it's been missing, and I think that's been a big problem, and maybe why we have so many problems with corruption in this world is. And I'm not saying that women can't be corrupt either, but I think the balance will fix a lot of that.
Well, I think a lot of that comes from education, too. I think there was a recent study that said women have had more degrees and better education than ever in history, right? So if that's the case, I think that with any culture or minority or anything, if they're educated, they're able to do something with it, because then they can communicate, they can relate it. Then it doesn't, it takes away the power of the alphas or the old school alphas.
Gives them more control over their own lives as opposed to somebody controlling their lives.
Right. I agree. Well, Christian, we're almost out of time. What do you want to leave it with?
Well, we're going to have a female president soon, I think.
That'd be interesting.
Leading into this, or kind of dovetailing on this alpha male.
Shh, Christian,
thing.
I haven't announced that I'm running yet.
Oh.
God, cat's out of the bag.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding.
Who's going to be your running mate?
I have to think about that.
Rush Limbaugh.
I can think of worse people.
Let's see, who else? I'm trying to think. Boy George.
I'd take Ted Nugent over Boy George.
Ooh, Ted Nugent is horrible.
Worse than Boy George?
He might be the one. I don't like Ted Nugent at all.
All right, well.
I don't even think his music's any good.
He's kind of an alpha male.
Yeah, let alone his political views.
At least he speaks with passion, and I give him credit for that.
There's been a lot of people that have spoken with passion. Do I need to name one or two of them?
Go ahead.
Hitler?
Right?
After that, I don't really need to name anybody else.
Yeah, I guess not.
I proved my point. All right, so I guess we can wrap it up and let everybody else kind of go through and decide and tell us what they think about alpha males and why it's good or bad that they might become extinct.
Hit us up on Facebook, Talking Shiitake. Let us know what you feel about it.
All right, till next time, we're Talking Shiitake. Peace, love, and knowledge to all of you. Make a change.